You're listening to Tom McConnell on News Talk 610 CKTV.
7 minutes after 11 o'clock. Hey, Tom, I don't think it's about teaching the kids to cook, says a texter. I was never taught a thing about cooking, but I took it upon myself to learn. I think it's about laziness and expecting everything to be handed to them on a silver platter. Thanks, love the show. Almost like my theory on computers. As adults, we all learned a computer, how to use a computer on our own. Maybe we took a quick course at the community college, but I didn't need to be told how to use a computer. I just learned it. You know why? Because I knew there was going to be a benefit there. Same with cooking. You know why I learned how to cook? Because I just knew there was going to be a benefit. Well, I've got to feed myself somehow. And then I rationalized. And it was difficult for me to learn how to cook because I grew up in a house where, and without bragging, my mother was the best cook I knew. And she was absolutely fabulous. And everyone was like, your mom was an awesome cook. And I was like, exactly. Why would I learn how to cook? And then my dad retired and he became a good cook. So I had these two great cooks in my kitchen. I was like, why would I learn how to cook when I got these two people? And then on my own, I realized, yeah, it wasn't magic. They had to work. They had to do it. This is what they did. And both of them grew up in the Depression and they realized this is what they, and listen, they were foodies. They enjoyed eating out. They enjoyed entertaining. But they also realized that 90% of the time, let's say, you have to provide for yourself and your family. And you have to stick within a budget, okay? Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, how are you?
I'm great, Tom. I love that subject, though, about home cooking.
Well, I want to continue our conversation only because we started out in the last half hour. I brought up the idea about this McDonald's McDouble and how, you know, it's not the perfect food. However, for a dollar, you were able to get some proteins, a little fiber. It was a decent nutrition. It was like, and it's widely available. It's everywhere. And then we started talking about how to make better food choices. And I say one of the worst things people do is they eat out and blow their food budget eating out, which is not, I eat out. Not all the time, but I eat out enough. But I also realize that you could eat at home better food, far cheaper. I could eat steak at home for my whole family versus going out for pizza or something cheap. Mm-hmm. We can make better choices at home. And people are like, no, it's too expensive. And I'm like, I don't think it is. I honestly, as a guy who does a lot of shopping and I look into a lot of shoppers' baskets, I think we all look into other people's shopping baskets. But do you think that does eating healthy have to be expensive?
No, it doesn't at all. In fact, you know, when you're talking about expense and, you know, the differences between eating out and eating at home, I think it actually has more to do with control. I think that when you're making your food from scratch at home, yes, there's the idea that you can save money, but also you're in control of it over every single ingredient in that meal. And I think that is actually the more prevalent message. I'm not being puritanical in saying that people can't go out and eat a meal. I think that that's fine to do every once in a while. But if you're doing it every single day, then I can't imagine how many other ingredients you're getting in every single one of those meals, including the trans fats, for example. You have no control over how many trans fats you're taking in. When you're blindly eating like that.
Or even if you ate at the purest restaurant where, you know, it's they have locally sourced organic food from their garden behind them. It's as pure as the driven snow. The chickens were free range in their lot behind them. Everything was perfect in terms of an ethical guideline. You know how expensive that would be? I mean, not that you shouldn't strive to eat good quality food, but if when you eat it out, I know as the spouse of a former restaurateur, the food cost is actually only about 30% of a restaurant meal. When you think about that, I mean, to eat in a restaurant, when you look at, oh, it's $9.99, the food in that is really only about $3. Mm-hmm. And so if we want to eat better quality food, if we want to aspire to eat great food, we should be, you know, the place to do it is in your house because you can afford it, especially if you have a family. I'm providing for five people. I can't afford to take them out and dine well all the time.
It's much more affordable. But I want to point out, too, though, that this notion that cooking food from scratch is beneath us, that was done to us. And I think that's a really important message to convey to your listeners, because before World War II, we were happy, we were thrilled, we were, you know, comfortable making meals from scratch three times a day. That was embedded in our culture before World War II. And there's a fantastic book I want to recommend. It's called Something from the Oven, and it's by Laura Shapiro. And what she did was she went into the history of how we lost this survival skill of making food from scratch. And it was done to us very systematically, very methodically by the food industry. And we, after World War II, what the food industry did was they essentially bought ads in papers and ladies' magazines to convey to the readers that it was beneath us to cook food from scratch and that this more modern way of eating made us more progressive. Right. So after World War II, we were basically robbed of the notion of making food from scratch, Tom. And so that's the science and the art that has to come back into our culture if we expect to get our health back. Because we are, you're right, we're just not going to be able to get our health back if we're running from restaurant to restaurant to restaurant and we don't know the ingredients in the foods that we're eating.
And I mean, I can only imagine it was seen as, you know what, you want to have more time. This will save you time. Look at the popularity and what it did, though, the TV dinner. You know, look at what we can do. Just put it in the oven. No work. It's already done. All you have to do is heat it up. It's the TV dinner. And then you can eat it in front of the television. And it was like, it was almost, yeah, but it ruined a lot of things. I mean, not only the ability to cook, but the art of conversation and talk. I mean, there was a social aspect of food that it destroyed as well. But the TV dinner, I mean, you can save time. It was always about saving time, but we're really doing ourselves no favors by it.
Yeah, and the TV dinner turned into wieners and beans and Kraft dinner, or KD as it's known today. I mean, all these instant meals that have very little flair to them, if you will. I mean, there's certainly not nutrient dense whatsoever, but there's no real creativity to these meals. So we've even lost not just the nutritional value in our food, but creativity as well.
When you see people who come to your seminars or when you talk to clients, how many of them are, let me come up with a term here, cooking impaired? How many of them do not really know what to do in the kitchen? And that's a big problem holding them back.
Oh, I see a lot of people. I mean, Tom, I've met adults, you know, 60-year-old people who don't know what a quarter of a cup is. When I ask them to measure something, a quarter of a cup, they don't know what it is. They don't know how to do it.
Let alone follow a recipe.
They wouldn't be able to follow a recipe. I have people who say to me, "What's 1 ounce? What is that?"
And so, what are they? So are these then the easiest ways? Like, well, if I can't cook or I don't know how to measure, if I don't know what the ingredients are, I guess I'll just buy prepared food. I guess then I won't make my food.
They
I'll buy the
package.
They can
hold their arms all they want, but you know they're sick and they need to take control of their health, so they have to start cooking. But you know, the real paradox is we have so many tools in our toolkit today, you know, to make healthy meals in our kitchen, more so than ever in the history of mankind. We have cooking shows to show us how to cook food from scratch.
I have cooking videos I can go to and it can show me how to make a meal. I can put my laptop on the computer, on the kitchen counter. I can go to YouTube and it's like, "Here, cook this chicken tonight." And in about 7 minutes, I'll be like, "Wow, the chicken won't be done in 7 minutes, but in 7 minutes, I'll have chicken in the oven."
That's right. It's not a difficult task to do. The problem is we have a mental block, you see. We have all the resources available to us, but we're still not cooking food from scratch, not to the degree we should be.
All right, I'm going to continue this conversation with Pam Colleen when we come back. 16 minutes after 11 o'clock. Is it to eat well? Is eating well expensive? I don't think so. Pam doesn't think so. I'll get your thoughts. 61010 if you want to send a text. McConnell at 610CKTB.com. Does eating well have to be expensive? Back with more with Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, next on 610CKTB. That man is not your man, and that's why I'm gonna make a good girl. 21 minutes after 11 o'clock, this is News Talk 610 CKTB. Pam Colleen joining us on the program. And it started with a blog post, not from you and not from me, but from somebody who was like, "Ah, you know what the most nutritious, cheapest, prevalent food is a McDonald's McDouble, and then went on to make the argument about it only costs a dollar and you got 25% of your protein and this is what it does. And this is why people with 390 calories choose it when they don't have other options. And it's kind of spun into if you're going to eat well, and part of the article was if you're going to eat the best quality food, all organic, ethically sourced, it would have been so expensive, but that's not necessarily true. And even if you can't have that gold standard, Pam, that we aspire to, I can't get the, you know, perfect cut of beef, but at least having beef or whatever protein source it is better than just loading up carbivores, as you call them, and to eat. And listen, carbs are cheap. And this is why we overeat carbs. But to eat healthy is not necessarily an expensive proposition.
It's not expensive. And I just want to point out with this sort of debate around the McDonald's thing. If you recall the book, I don't know if you ever heard of it or read it, but it's called Fast Food Nation by Eric Schlosser. And there was a movie that was documentary that was made based on the book. And in the book, he points out that before World War II, of course, 90% of our beef cattle were outside on grass. And he came to this realization while he was eating a burger one day, you know, what's the quality of the meat that I'm eating? And he decided to investigate this entire story about the quality of our beef. And he turned it into this lengthy book. But, you know, and of course, it's very controversial because you have two different kinds. Essentially, you know, there's a few different kinds of meat out there. There's the factory farm meat. There's grass-fed meat, there's organic meat, you know, there's different kinds of meat out there. And I think, though, that if we're going to fix this problem that we have, and there's a really, you know, a serious problem that we have with not just meat quality, but what these factory farms are doing to the environment, and I think that companies like McDonald's could step up to the plate and actually be part of the solution, not be part of the problem. And that's the one thing that the power of these corporations can and do have is that they are turning a blind eye. They want to make profit, number one, but it's at the cost of our environment. It's at the cost of our health, because the meat that you're getting in places, you know, these fast food joints, is not the quality that you deserve. It's not the quality of meat that your children deserve. There's going to be less nutrition in that meat simply because these animals have been fed in feedlots and they're being fed food that is not natural to them. So not only does it compromise the health of the animal, it compromises the entire nutritional profile of that meat. So I don't want people not to eat meat from factory farms if that's what is most comfortable to them based on their availability, based on their budgets, and so on. I want people to eat meat, period. But I think that certain people potentially could go out and do some extra research to find the grass-fed beef individually as a family. They can do that. But I think collectively, corporations could be out there doing more to support more sustainable agriculture. And then we have a better chance at a solution to this problem.
Do you also think, or do you believe, and maybe because you've talked about it, how we've changed our eating patterns, and has it not gone hand in hand with our migration to the cities, where 2% of the population now lives on farms, but 100 years ago, 2% of the population, you know, probably lived in the city, where we have become disconnected from our source of food. And you often have talked about get to know your farmer, especially for not necessarily your wheat farmer, but if you're going to get grass-fed beef or milk or eggs, where the farmer really has a lot of impact on the quality of food, get to know your farmer. But as we become more urbanized, we've disconnected. Where does food come from, honey? The supermarket. Well, guess what? It doesn't. It comes from a farmer into a supermarket. That as we've become more disconnected from our food, we've become, I guess, less knowledgeable, or, you know, we try to take shortcuts, or we try to, you know, now I see a growing movement of some people trying to understand their food better and what it does, and nutritional science is becoming more and more of how the body works.
Well, we have to, Tom. We have to, because since post-World War II, of course, with the rise of chemicals, right, the rise of big pharma, big agriculture, right, since those entities came to power, essentially, we were told that food didn't have an impact on our health, because that was the competition, right? They wanted us to believe since World War II that if we get sick, that we have to run to a drug to get better, right? And so if we thought about nutrition as being the answer, we were basically we were ostracized. We were being judged. We were criticized for thinking that nutrition had anything to do with our health. now that we're so sick as a society, now that our healthcare system is going bankrupt, or is worse than that, it's going bankrupt, yes, but it's bankrupting our province. Now, slowly but surely, we're being allowed to think that maybe nutrition has something to do with our health. So people are thinking more about the quality of the food that they're putting in their mouth. And that's obviously a challenge to Big Pharma, because they want us to believe that drugs are the answer to our health problems.
Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, joining us on the program. You have anything coming up these days? Any seminars, any talks you're giving?
I'll be doing a series of talks this fall in London, Ontario. I haven't got the dates booked as yet, but I'll be posting them on my website soon.
PamColleen.com is the website. If you ever want links or information, Pam does a great job of updating her website. And always interesting, because this is a fascinating conversation, because I know people are like, well, I'm on a limited budget, or I don't have time. How do I do it? And for me, the budget is a tougher one for me to overcome, but the time one, I'm like, you got to make the time.
It doesn't take that much time. It's not just a mental block. It really doesn't take that much time. When these women were interviewed post-World War II, they did surveys on women asking them if they enjoyed cooking from scratch, and they said yes. Over 90% of them said yes. When they were asked, do they have time to cook food from scratch, and these were working women, they said yes, that they had time to cook food from scratch. So not only was it a pleasure for them back then, they had the time to do it back then, and that was circa 1950. So since then, the propaganda, the brainwashing that has been instilled in our minds is so thick that we really don't think that we have the time, and we really don't think that it's pleasurable, so we don't do it. But that's not natural for us, right? I mean, historically, we did do those things, and we did find them to be pleasurable. So we just have to regain that wisdom. We have to regain that traditional practice of cooking food from scratch, because it is a survival skill.
Always insightful. Thank you, Pam.
Thanks, Tom.
28 minutes after 11 o'clock, that's Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant from London. PamColleen.com is her website. Fascinating conversation in terms of eating healthy. And does eating healthy have to be expensive? And if you do it yourself, no, it doesn't. I don't believe it does. Although some will say, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. How do I do it? I can't cook. All barriers. News is next. This is 610 CKTV. Traditionally,